You're listening to the Jason Gregor Show podcast, brought to you by Lakewood Chev. Huge upgrade sale coming up June 22nd to 24th. It's going to be a barbecue. They're going to have all sorts of free food and additional savings. $1,500 on trucks, $1,000 on SUVs, and $750 on cars. Check it out at lakewoodchev.com. Let's get to our big guest of the day, brought to you by Alberta Mortgage Funding. If you have equity in your home or other property, AMF can arrange financing for any purpose without checking credit, income, or employment. Apply online at albertafunding.com. Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joins us as we officially wrap up the 2017 NHL season with the Pittsburgh Penguins getting a Stanley Cup, their second in a row. And now we turn to the expansion draft and goaltenders. Marc-Andre Fleury, he's exposed himself to Vegas if indeed a trade doesn't happen before then. And if you're the Pittsburgh Penguins, obviously you'd probably like to get something for Marc-Andre Fleury rather than nothing and lose him to Vegas. It's not like there's a massive long list, Kevin, of teams that need goaltenders, but I want to start in Winnipeg. Do you think Fleury is a fit for how the Jets play?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know that any goalie, if you ask me, any goalie would want to go there in terms of being a fit for how they play. Like, I just don't think they're very goalie friendly the way they play. And that's interesting because, some people would argue that a guy as dynamic and athletic as Marc-Andre is would give them, a better chance behind that type of defense where you can be exposed laterally a little bit and get a lot of open looks. And then there are other people who will say, yeah, but if you play any further out, if you're more aggressive in any way, you leave yourself more exposed to those types of opportunities. So I don't know that there's an absolute right answer. I mean, certainly what I would like about Marc-Andre Fleury in that situation is exactly what we've seen in Pittsburgh. The character, the class, the way he's worked. You saw the emotion in Matt Murray last night and the way he talked so genuinely about the role Marc-Andre Fleury has played in him being able to step onto this stage. And the Jets are a team with a lot of young goaltending talent coming up. And so whether it's Connor Hellebuck or Eric Comrie behind him, Marc-Andre Fleury is a guy who, with a couple years left on his deal, might help you bridge that gap. That said, I think you probably think that Hellebuck is a little closer, maybe to where Matt Murray is in terms of being ready to take a bigger step. And, if you're envisioning that, another stride next year and the second year, now you're talking about paying a lot of money for a backup goaltender in Marc-Andre Fleury before the contract expires. If that's how you envision things moving forward for Connor Hellebuck, and to be honest, for Eric Comrie as well. So it's kind of, he fits them situationally, absolutely, more as a mentor than style wise. And the question just becomes, does the window match? Does the window of his contract match what you expect in terms of how much he's going to play before he's behind those other two?
What about the Arizona Coyotes? What do you think? You think Mike Smith can give them the goaltending they need to be competitive, or should they look elsewhere and possibly look to move him?
Well, I mean, if you listen to the scuttlebutt coming out of there and the way their general manager talked about him as an asset that was desired, I don't know how much the truth might have been stretched there. He was good for them last year for stretches. He was bad for them for stretches too, but he was really good at times. And, he seems to have, for the most part last year, put some of the health issues behind him. But let's just say, from a cap hit perspective, as much as I still think there's something there, with so many options out there, I don't know that he'd be my first choice. I don't know physically whether he will hold up for the next couple of years. There were times last year behind a not very good team where he really was good for them. I just, there's too many other components there for me to put him ahead of some of those other options, whether it's a Winnipeg or a Calgary looking. There's just too much there.
Kevin Woodley from In Goal Magazine and NHL.com joined us. Speaking of Calgary, look at their goaltending situation. Their GM last week hinted, maybe both will be back. I don't think there's any chance that happens with Anderson and Elliott, and it always asks the question, if you have two number ones, you really don't have a number one. You have two number twos or guys who can be a one for a short period of time. Like, Fleury to Calgary seems to me to make the most sense for the Calgary Flames. When I look at a lot of situations, if they're looking for a veteran goalie who's proven, who's still a very good goalie, you know, Fleury was excellent up until Matt Murray came back in the playoffs for the Pittsburgh Penguins. Do you see that being a fit for the Flames, or do you see them possibly maybe trying to go out and get a younger guy like Grubauer or somebody?
You know, I wish I had an absolute answer on that. I do think there's still a desire there to maybe have Chad Johnson back. And obviously I thought he was good for them last year. As far as who it comes back with, see, they're another team that, you know, maybe a Fleury or, you know, another name, Jimmy Howard, out of Detroit, who may be on the market. They could be a good fit again, because you're looking to fill a gap. And that gap for them versus Winnipeg is a little longer, but they've got some really nice young goaltenders coming. When you think of Tyler Parsons, who's just going to get his pro career going, and you think of John Gillies, there are some nice pieces there, maybe a little further away from the NHL or from being ready for bigger roles in the NHL than in Winnipeg. And so a guy who could fill that two-year gap for you, like Marc-Andre Fleury, would be attractive. Now, let's be clear, though. Fleury waived his no move, as I understand it, for Vegas and for the expansion draft. And in doing so, you know, let's be honest, I mean, all the pressure the Penguins should have been, like, he really just lifted that cloud right off from over their heads in Pittsburgh. Like, Jim Rutherford went into the trade deadline knowing that there was no way he was going to lose Matt Murray, because Marc-Andre Fleury had already agreed to that. And again, that speaks to his character. But there's a big difference between him waiving it for purposes of expansion and what teams he's willing to go to as far as his no trade clause goes. And, you know, there were some other teams that have since filled number one through trade and signs of pending free agents, places where I thought Marc-Andre Fleury would end up, where evidently he wasn't willing to go. Carolina is one. I thought there was going to be a fit there, but he wasn't willing to waive his no trade for that destination. And so him saying yes to Vegas doesn't mean he said no to Calgary. That said, I could see a fit there. Again, whether it's him or whether it's Howard, somebody who can come in, be a good, stable, and Fleury's probably better for the mentorship side, as I've already said, good, stable, number one guy. At the same time, whether it worked with Chad Johnson in the short term, so you're not overworking a Fleury, and then be there to help these young kids as they make those steps. Because, again, you cannot underestimate the role that Marc-Andre Fleury has played in helping Matt Murray and making him comfortable in the strides he made the last 2 years.
Kevin Woodley from InGoal Magazine, NHL.com, joins us. Kevin, there's a lot. Now, I know that you were working with Hockey Canada, I think it was, what were you doing, evaluations on their goalies?
No, I was honored to be invited to go there as, I guess, the role would be video coach. So working with the goalie coaches to do some video work and then identify some things through that video and help with that process.
So now when you go through that, like, how many hours do you spend on one guy's tape?
Well, I mean, in that situation, you know, you've got 14 guys coming into a camp for 3 days. There is an evaluation component, but I really credit Hockey Canada this year for shifting to a development focus. Where in the past, the Program of Excellence would bring in a lot of different coaches and there'd be a lot of different voices and a lot of different drills, there really was a singular development focus this year. And so the kids were less worried about being evaluated and more worried about picking up a couple of key new things that Hockey Canada sees maybe as foundational. And so because that teaching was sort of teaching one thing to a big group versus drilling down on it with individual guys, there's maybe not as much time to break down individual guys' games to look at it. But the one component that was kind of being taught, I mean, it was pretty easily identifiable. Like, you know, for the coaching staff that was there and for myself, you could see it. It's kind of a yes or no answer, whether it's there or not in their game. And then the coaches, far more so than myself, they know how to sort of, if it's not there, how do you teach it and get it to there? So You know, the video is more for review to make sure you teach those, take those teaching moments and take the things that are being taught and then reaffirm them afterwards by sharing it. There's a program from Double Blue Sports called CoachCast where the athlete and the coach can be in looking at the same video at the same time and going over it and reviewing it and marking it up. And so using that software to make sure that these kids don't just come in, and again, full credit to Hockey Canada for recognizing some of what might have happened in the past, is you come in for a week, you learn some new things, and then you go back to different voices and different goalie coaches, and maybe some of that message gets lost. There really is a singular development focus, and by using this video moving forward, you're going to be able to not only make sure that the lessons still make sense, but you're going to be able to track back and look and say, hey, am I still doing it? Is he still progressing? If you can go side by side, get a coach in their junior team to run the same drill and put that video side by side with what we shot, and do you see progression or do you see regression? And then have that communication with the athlete. And it'll help with the World Junior team and the under-18 team coming up this year. That it'll be part of that process. So it was really neat to be on the other side of it, Jason. Like I said, kind of honored and humbled to be invited to do it. But just to see just how good these coaches are and to see the commitment and the way that Hockey Canada runs their programs and just a really high level up there with a lot of NHL teams. And to be honest, from a facilities perspective, better than a few. So it was really interesting to be on the other side of it.
Now, Kevin, going back to Calgary, you had mentioned you think there's interest in them in bringing Johnson back. So obviously not Elliott. Do you see a team then that's a fit for him?
Again, depending on term, depending on money, does Winnipeg look at him as a shorter term option or is Winnipeg in on Johnson? I mean, I think there's some similarities there, again, in terms of, you know, having a bit of a gap to your young guys. And the question is, can you match that gap to term and price? And I said this before when I talked about Chad Johnson. Matter of fact, I remember last summer I said, I like Chad Johnson as a free agent signing in Calgary and a lot better than what Edmonton did with Gustafson because he's a guy who will push, but also because he's a guy who really thinks the game well, articulates the game well, and as much as he's pushing to be a number one and wants that opportunity last year coming out of Buffalo and again this summer, he's not a cutthroat, cut the other guy out, no communication type, and they exist. He's a guy who's going to work with the guy he's playing with. And so, again, if Calgary doesn't re-sign him, he'd be near the top of my list for any team that's kind of in that situation. And Brian Elliott, this is going to be a real wicked game of musical chairs. And I'm not sure, as much as I praise him and I like his game, and let's not forget, as much as it finished poorly in the playoffs, he was a big part of the reason they got to the playoffs in the first place after a rough start there. And so there's a lot to like about Brian Elliott's game, but the way the season finished and the way this game of musical chairs is going to start to go, he may want to grab a seat in a hurry, and to do so, he may have to settle for maybe less term and less money than he was maybe expecting. You know, certainly with 3 weeks left in the season, as one of the hottest goalies in the league with unrestricted free agency coming up, the expectations may have to be tempered, as much as I like him as a goalie personally.
Quickly, your guess on Fleury by the next week, I guess, officially on the 21st. That's when the expansion draft is. So that's not true. Do you think by Saturday, because if he's not traded, I don't see any way Vegas doesn't claim him from Pittsburgh.
The only thing in that mix that I'm going to be honest, I don't know. And this applies to the same for Philip Grubauer and Antti Raanta and Jonas Korpisalo. Those are all guys that I think I would take if I'm Las Vegas. What I can answer, Jason, is there anybody else on that team, and now this is Fleury in Pittsburgh, that have to be exposed? With all those goalies as options, is there anybody else that might be a better option? In other words, is the forward I could grab instead of Marc-Andre Fleury better than the forward I could grab instead of Jonas Korpisalo, instead of Antti Raanta, instead of Philip Grubauer? And there might even be some teams that we're, you know, in the goalie world, we're saying, oh, man, this team's like, you know, they're going to lose this goalie, and they must be really worried about it. But quietly behind the scenes, they may prefer to lose the goalie, again, in a market where there are a lot of them, than they would.
But are any of them better than Fleury? Do you think any of them are better than Fleury right now?
Right now? No. No, but that doesn't – and so if they're looking for that number one guy in that role, I think Marc-Andre Fleury fits everything from mentor to personality in a new market to style of play for the goalie coach, Dave Pryor, who's there, who was in Washington before. He checks a lot of those boxes. So, yeah, it would make a lot of sense if he ended up there. Absolutely. So, yeah, Marc-Andre Fleury in Las Vegas makes a lot of sense. But as I've learned talking to goalie coaches around the league, because they all came out, not all, but a lot of them came out to this Hockey Canada camp to watch the prospects that they may have to make a decision on drafting in a couple of weeks here. There is a lot of moving parts when it comes to Las Vegas right now and a lot of uncertainty. So saying as much as something might make sense, it's definitely not a slam dunk.
Kev, we'll talk to you next Monday. Have a great week.
Perfect. Thanks, Jason.